honor member, official, and then we have the Cardinal Secretary, the Deputy Minister here, and all officials are here. You can see the on the court. But before we start, can we start with that?
Introduce themselves, you know, individually. there's a good call of the, you know, say about time after
maybe
few comments by the national coach.
Chairperson and members of parliament, good afternoon. As the Deputy Minister has indicated, my name is Zakaria Modisa. I'm the acting National Commissioner of the Department. Weekly we have a team of managers, senior managers of the department. I'll introduce them as we are seated. On that first desk, Mr. Terence Rathiroka, who is the acting Chief Deputy Commissioner for Strategic Management, who will take us through the presentation. Next to him, our acting CFO, Ms. Nandi Mareka, responsible for the department's budget and expenditure. Right behind me on my left is the Chief Operating Officer of the department, Ms. Nonsikelelo Jordana. And sitting with them, the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for Human Resources, Mr. Tibo Mukwene. On my right, the desk alongside mine is the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for Community Questions, Ms. Kumla Matibela. Next to her, the Regional Commissioner of KwaZulu-Natal, Mr. Mnikelwa Nele. Behind them, on the left-hand side, is the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for Digital, Ms. Ntabile Musubie. Next to her, the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for Remand, Ms. Beretta Rodman. The desk in front, on the right of Mr. Nele, is the Regional Commissioner of the Eastern Cape, Mr. Kosinath Breakfast. Next to him, on the left, is Mr. Subhashini Mukhi, the Regional Commissioner of Free State, Northern Cape, the combined region. And the next to Mr. Breakfast is the Chief Audit Executive of the department, which has joined us shortly, is Ms. Nobiko Zondo. The desk behind us, on the left-hand side, is Mr. Mandla Mkabela, who is the Regional Commissioner, Ex-Regional Commissioner of Gauteng. And next to him, Mr. Mthombeni, who is standing in for the Regional Commissioner of Limpopo, Mpumalanga and Northwest. At the back there, we've got Dr. Joey Kutsia. Joey is standing in for the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for corrections and incarceration. And at the back there, our spokesperson, Ms. Manili Siwalela. Chairperson, I think that the delegation of correctional services. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, member. Let's start from me. My name is Ginefane Kindi, representing the Western Cape in the SOP, originally from the Eastern Cape and Mamboni in the border. Thank you.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Gershon Dixon, the Secretary to the Committee.
My name is Terry Sowan, member of the Fellows of Hughes, coming from the Eastern Cape, the permanent assistant of the Eastern Cape.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is George Mustafakis. I'm a permanent delegate from the Free Sector.
Good afternoon. I don't know what I said. I was saying, Mr. My name is Moses Taita Sasana, a member of the Select Committee from Mpumalanga. I'm a concerned citizen. I'm saying, well, I don't know what would I say. I see ranks here. I think it would be wise for us to be sympathized with these ranks. That's so beautiful and encouraging. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. My name is Martin Chevy, and I come from KwaZulu-Natal.
Madam Raj, Nana Kaki Pelako Mugwedi. Mugwedi. Get off on the booty. Go with your mama.
Good afternoon, my name is Shubhita. I'm the research for the committee.
My apologies. My name is Judith Chabana. I'm the CLO in the ministry.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Megan and I'm from PMG.
Talk to the mic.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Megan and I'm from PMG.
My name is Stephen Nevari. I'm from the Department of Criminal Services, GLO.
Good evening. My name is Ndine, Senior Kosana, Media License, Independent Minister of Justice. Thank you. Department of Corruption.
Good afternoon, my name is Nirdesh Biju, Head of Ministry Office of the Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's not waste time. Can we get a briefing by the Department of Customer Services on such a threat with emphasis on the provincial market? How about you, Department?
Chairperson, I thought even with the concern about time, I should just say, you know, a word or two before the department proceeds with their plans, because you are correct that we should actually proceed that way, because this is really the meeting with yourself. And as you can see, the dedication is quite huge. It will benefit the committee members to provide as much information from the delegation and to make their travel all the way to Cape Town more beneficial. The point I wanted to make, Chairperson and Honorable Members, is that you probably would be aware that the annual performance plan that the department is going to be presenting here were presented before the electoral elections that we have just had by the former minister, Minister Spuli Ndebele. Of course, the committee work was put in abeyance with the understanding that after the elections, there will be a resubmission of these documents and their presentation to the new committees as constituted by the department. Having said that, secondly, I wanted also to say to members, and I know that you are very much alive to this development, that the ministry has exists today. It's a reconstituted ministry that the president decided to be an amalgamation of what used to be the Ministry of Justice and Constitutional Development and the Ministry of Correctional Services. With the amalgamation of the two ministries under one minister, the ministry is now the Ministry of Justice and Correctional Services. And under the ministry, we have two departments that are standalone, that reside under that ministry, the Department of Justice and the Department of Correctional Services. They both have separate accounting officers and their separate standalone budget, as it was the case before. The strategic plans that are going to be tabled here are very much largely informed by the administration that is tabling the documents before Parliament, which is prioritizing the Vision 2030 South Africa's National Development Plan, and also an administration which has the obligation to the broad electorate in this country to bring to life the manifesto of the ruling party on which it has been returned to power or to government. The priorities of this particular year, honorable members, were present and they were presented by the President of the Republic during the State of the Nation address. It is the priorities of those seminal documents that are informing these plans. You will be aware that the way our government in this country works, we still have not fine-tuned the processes of allowing for the amendments of plans in the year in which a general election is held, such that they can adequately commence the work of implementing the policies of the ruling party, because we are talking about plans whose elaboration and budgets whose elaboration commence before the elections in the previous year. As the minister, we are very much alive to that deficiency, and we have committed ourselves to working in a disciplined way in making sure that we find all the gaps and moments where moving forward in this very financial year, where we can commence the process of bringing into the plan the priorities of the ruling party over the MTSF period. And that's what I should make those remarks without wasting much of the committee's time and hand over back to the department to take you through these steps. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister, Honourable Chairperson, and Honourable Members of the Select Committee. I will be taking the committee through our strategic plan as well as the APP for the current financial year. That is also in line with contributing to the Vision 2030 that is contained in the National Development Plan. Our presentation will focus on the introduction, strategic plan overview, vision, mission and core values. We'll look at the legislative framework, we'll do institutional analysis, focusing on both internal and external aspects. We'll demonstrate our linkages, our link to all the plans to other government plans. We'll focus on strategic outcomes for increased goals as well as our 5 budget programs. We'd also share with the committee our annual performance plans for the current financial year, the total budget allocation, as well as we'll then do our conclusion. The purpose of this meeting is to present to the select committee in terms of our APs and our strategic plan. Our strategic plan it has certain elements. The first key elements are the strategic intent, which is a desired service delivery standards. We call for a stretch, a leverage of our resources to meet the articulated service delivery standards of the department. The overview of our plan is actually the building block that actually makes our plan. All components of the plan are in compliance with government planning frameworks as regulated by the National Treasury. We also demonstrate our values. We believe that the values of human organizations are critical in running the organization. We will also indicate that our government has been driven by the common shared values. Our mandate as well will be demonstrated. We're going to share with you and clarify our mandate, which is emanating from the legislation that defines us in our existence. We'll share with the committee the situational analysis, and which is basically the basis for crafting our realistic strategies. We'll look at the economic environment, organizational environment, strategic planning processes. We'll also focus on comments information, which is the last piece of our 10, where we'll be sharing with the committee our goals and objectives, outcomes and outputs, in case of the tax. In terms of the framework of strategic planning as approved by the National Treasury, which was tracking, which focuses on vision, mission, values, legislation mandate, institutional analysis, outcome-oriented goals, the party will focus on strategic performance elements, risk, resource consideration, as well as risk management. The party will be released to other plans, as well as focus on the annual performance plan for the current financial year. The vision of the Department of Correctional Services is informed by the mandate, as well as the support of the outcome 3 of the 14 outcomes of the present government. Ours is to provide the best correctional services for a safer South Africa. Our mission also is informed by the work that we do, and it's also informed by the specific core mandate that we have in terms of Correctional Services Act. We contribute to the department to just peaceful and safer South Africa through effective and humane incarceration of inmates, rehabilitation and social reintegration of offenders. We actually have 8 values. We believe that our plans and actions must be considered and implemented within the context of the organization's core values. We also believe that values do not drive the organization. They actually drive the people within the organization, and in turn, they affect people to serve the organization. Therefore, values must be internalized by the people in the organization to have meaning. We have 8 values. The first value that we share with the committee is development. We believe, and I must also indicate that after the election, after the appointment of the new cabinet, after we received our new deputy minister and the minister, as the executive, we had meetings, a meeting with them, telling them through our plan. They made very significant contributions in terms of how we would want to go forward. As minister, deputy minister, as I alluded earlier, they were concerned about, for example, that as an organization previously we have been focusing on ourselves and being inward looking. So there are a number of issues that we raised, which actually we are currently working for the department to make sure that we include those key issues that are raised. For example, in terms of development, there was an indication that we should actually stop looking inward, but also look outward, how that we develop even people who are outside our organization. So development is part of our value. We believe that we need to enable and empower the people. We must have faith in the potential of people. We must provide opportunities and facilities for growth. In terms of integrity, we have to be honest, disassociate ourselves from all forms of corruption and unethical behavior, conduct. We must have sound business practices. In terms of effectiveness, we believe that as GCS members, we need to be productive. We need to implement best work methods, as well as provide excellent services. On equity methods, we believe that we have to practice non-discrimination, we must comply to the affirmative action rule, ensure that there is gender equality within the department, and also ensure that we integrate issues of disability. From accountability value, we believe and we say that we must have the desire to perform well as an organization and as an individual. We must accept accountability for our own behavior, and we must be committed to the work that we do. From a justice point of view, we are actually central in making sure that we do this. We must treat everyone fairly, but ensure that it's justice for all, including offenders. There must be fairness and equality before the law. And from a security point of view, we are a security department. Security is actually the centerpiece of the work that we do. So we have to ensure that the safety of employees, offenders, and the communities. Ubuntu, very central in the way in which we do business. We believe that we need to serve with kindness as well as humanity. From the legislative framework, we take our money from the Constitution, we take our money from the Correctional Services Act as amended, we also take our money from the Criminal Procedure Act. There are other latest progressive pieces of legislation that we work on,
That includes the white paper on corrections, the white paper on remandation in South Africa, the Correction Methods Amendment Act, and other applicable acts that we administer. We also manage the decision that comes from the court that informs our policy change, and those relevant court rulings inform the way in which we should change our business to be in line with the court decisions. We also have our DCS internal policy that manages our administration. We also manage the Child Justice Act, the Promotion Access to Information Act, Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, Basic Conditions of Employment Act, Occupational Health and Safety Act, Labor Relations Act, Protection of Personal Information Act, Public Service Act, as well as other acts that are applicable to our daily operations. We also did the institutional analysis before we developed our plan. We looked at the areas such as performing, organizational environment, and strategic planning processes. In terms of the performance environment, we looked at the key areas that affect our delivery, and we looked at external environment. We also believe that our work is actually driven by the realization of the ideals of what is contained in our constitution as a country, the Correctional Services Act as our primary act, the White Paper on Correctional Services in South Africa is transforming the way in which we do business, the White Paper on Remand and Detention. We also say that the environment in which we operate, the size and the nature of the population of the inmates, the community corrections, and the state of the departmental infrastructure is informed by the criminal justice system that we operate within. We also think that there are other activities, we learned that there are other activities of the criminal justice system department that impact directly on the work that we do, especially our self-delivery environment, such as the trend of arrests, management of investigation processes, the case flow management issues, and the case backlog, the sentencing trend, which automatically have an impact in terms of the work that we do. There's also issues related to the information and communication technology systems that is actually within our criminal justice system. Our organizational environment internally, we've got issues related to HR. In our analysis, we focus on attraction and retention of critical staff, the implementation of collective agreements with our labor partners. On information technology, there are issues related to master information system plans as well as general ICT systems. There are issues related to finance and procurement that actually affect our organizational environment internally. We also looked at the performance in terms of alignment to our strategic planning processes. We actually complied with our planning processes as stipulated. What happened is that in 2014-15, APP, we produced the outcomes that we have, we produced the indicators that we have through a series of engagement of various executive management sessions, which was last year and early in this 2014. And we also looked at previous strategies that we as department developed. We focused on, I must indicate, 12 government outcomes, because that was before the two additional were brought to our attention. We focused on the vision of the Minister of Correctional Services then, the vision of the then National Commissioner, and the transformation strategy that was developed under their leadership. There were several sessions with executive management of the department, and we also made sure that we identified key issues that are actually reflected in the national development plan that talks to the business that we do. We also developed the APP, which is annual performance plan for the current financial year, based on the existing strategic plan, which is 2013-14 to 2017-18. The current plan is covering only 1 year, and it includes 2 additional years in order to be aligned with the midterm expenditure framework cycle. And we decided to keep and align the APP to existing strategic plan as there are no major changes. But also this is all in line with Deputy Minister's announcement earlier in its introduction. Only the department's annual plan was tabled and was not tabled to, and the structure was not tabled to the reasons stated above. This was the instruction that we got from both National Treasury early in the year, as well as the Office of the President, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. We also looked into the draft mid-term strategic framework, which is a framework for 2014 to 2019 of the current administration. We looked at the National Development Plan Vision 2030,
And that has been very instrumental in determining our output and also informing our KPI for the current financial year. We made sure that we link our plans to the government program of action. We made sure that we link our plans to the clear mandate of the current administration. We looked at the election manifesto, we focused on key areas, but also our key contribution is on area number 6, which is fight against crime and corruption. And then out of the 14 government outcomes, our disaster is number 3, and we are actively participating in contributing to the achievement of number 3. However, there are other areas that we, areas of work that we do that actually contributes to other elements of other outcomes. For example, on education, we are contributing on health, we are also doing the same. Outcome number 3 is our key outcome that we contribute to, and under outcome number 3, in terms of the mid-term strategic sub-outcome, we are contributing towards reducing repeat offending or recidivism. We are ensuring that the percentage of offenders subjected to correctional programs is increased. We are also ensuring that the percentage of parole without parole violations is decreased, and also ensuring that the percentage of probation without violations is decreased. Our link, specific link to the national development is specifically on 12 chapters, but as I said, there are chapters of the NDC which I will share in the next slide that we actively contribute. But our key is chapter 12 and chapter 14 of the national development plan. In terms of our outcomes, as I said, outcome number 1 on basic education, which is selected as chapter 9 in the national development plan. As a department, we ensure that there are school facilities and offenders provided with an opportunity to attend education and field programs within our centers. On the outcome of health, which is at the 10 in the NDP, as a department, we have hospital facilities to ensure that offenders' health needs are being catered for. There are food service units that are installed with required HR equipment and facilities, as well as the percentage of those who have been tested for HIV is actually increased, and then we also have the new management areas that are contracted with healthcare services. In terms of outcome number 3, which is linked to chapter 12 and 14, building safe communities and fighting corruption, currently we, as of the end of the financial year, we had 156, 247 number of inmates that were incarcerated. Officials who are involved in corrupt activities have been dealt with. There's a significant number of those who were dismissed in the previous financial year. And this year shows that the department is dealing with corruption. Our department developed and it is implementing anti-corruption strategy, which focuses on prevention, investigation, and sanctioning. Another contribution we're doing is on outcome number 5, which is chapter 9 in the National Development Plan, and our contribution to that is that as a department we have managed to subject officials to the work use plan. And as I said, Minister and Deputy Minister, they were very clear in terms of indicating that we shouldn't be inward looking, so we actually have to work towards making sure that those that are not within our system actually get access to the skills that we provide as a department. In terms of outcome number 12, which is linked to chapter 7 in the National Development Plan, as a department we have been the chairperson of the African Correctional Services Association, since it was launched in 2008, we have been accredited as well, we have hosted a number of meetings attended by various heads as well as ministers of correctional services in Africa. When we're doing our strategy, we had to conduct what's called a SWOT analysis. We looked into our mandate, we had to understand our legal framework that governs our organization. We had to create a new vision and mission, as well as the organizational goals and outcomes. We clearly put together performance targets to make sure that we comply in terms of the work that we do. DCF is committed to the following three core functions. We are making sure that the effective justice system through effective management of remand processes. We are also ensuring that society is protected through incarcerated offenders being secured and rehabilitated. We also
make sure that our society is protected by offenders being reintegrated into the community back as law-abiding citizens. We've got different programs that run. I'm not going to get into that details, but we've got administration, we've got incarceration, we've got rehabilitation, we've got care, as well as social reintegration. All these are our budget programs, and this budget program has got sub-programs and different business units that fall under these budget programs. Just to ensure, I would just want to clearly say that program one is just administration, and the purpose of this program is to provide leadership, strategic management, and administrative support to the department and the ministry. And the business unit that falls under this is your ministry, finance, audit, management, corporate services, office administration, as well as residential accommodation. Program number two, it is incarceration, which focuses on security operations, offender management, remand detention, as well as facilities. And the purpose of this program is to provide appropriate services and well maintain physical infrastructure for stable and secure conditions of detention consistent with human dignity of inmate personnel and the members of the public. Program number three is focused at rehabilitation, where we deal with correctional programs, offender development, psychological, social work, and physical services. And the purpose of this program is to provide inmates with needs-based programs and interventions to facilitate their rehabilitation and enable their social reintegration. Program number four is focused at care, which is clearly about nutritional services, health services, hygiene services. And the purpose of this program is to provide needs-based care services to maintain the well-being of all inmates in the department's custody. Program number five, it is social reintegration, where we deal with parole administration methods, supervision, community reintegration, office accommodation, and community corrections. And the purpose of this program is to provide services focused on offender preparation for release, effective supervision of offenders placed under systems of community corrections, and facilitation of social reintegration into their communities. All these plans are linked to our strategic risk register, HR strategic plan, workplace skills plan, master information system plan, safety delivery improvement plan, spending plan, national building plan, as well as our procurement plan. In terms of the program comment information, as a department, under program administration, we have sub-program management. This program is focusing on those areas of administration that I talked about. Now, our strategic objective is to ensure that we have effective management of litigation cases. And our focus there, the pertinent indicator, is to ensure that the percentage of cases brought against the department is defended. We're actually in the process of changing this indicator, because we're saying that it should be percentage of cases brought against the department are successfully defended. And we've broken down the target per annum, per year up until 2018-19, incrementally so. And you will actually see that in the current financial year, we've actually broken that target in terms of the quarters. The second strategic objective that we have is on information systems or information technology. The objective is to provide reliable, integrated, and secure ICT infrastructure and business application systems. And then our performance indicators, we've got a single cash out of inmates and our offender information. We have to make sure that there's an automated and integrated core operation support system. We also need to ensure that there's consolidated network components and infrastructure, as well as consolidated and integrated physical security system. I'm not going to do the breakdown of this in terms of quickly move to the second one on finance. The objective there, strategic objective, is to build organizational capacity to enhance service delivery. And then our strategic objective there is effective financial management, actual expenditure and revenue to remain within the budget. Also to ensure that we have unqualified audit opinion expressed by the AGS. And our indicators for the current financial year and the
subsequent years would be to ensure that the percentage of allocated budget is spent, the specific percentage there, and also ensure that we reduce the number of police qualifications. I will also go to human resources, which in terms of the program is called corporate services. The strategic objective of this sub-program is to ensure that we build organizational capacity for enhanced service delivery, also ensuring that we professionalize the DCS for effective human resource management and development. The strategic objective of this sub-program is to ensure that we fill the same post, we train officials in line with the workplace use plan, also ensure that a positive, moderated and healthy workforce enable the department to achieve objectives under the auspices of employment and health and wellness. So there are three key indicators that we are actually working on for human resources. We ensure that the percentage of funded posts is filled. We also want to make sure that the specific number of trained officials in line with the work skills plan and number of management areas where integrated employee health and wellness program is rolled out. We have actually identified the target, broken down the numbers in terms of the number of years up until 2018-19, but also we have broken them down in terms of the current financial year according to the four quarters that we have. The second program we have is incarceration. Another incarceration, our strategic objective is to ensure that the remand, detainees and offenders that are held in our facilities are held in secure, safe and humane condition. The strategic objective of this focus area is to ensure that we can improve secure and custody of all inmates. And the performance indicators as outlined here is to ensure that the performance of inmates allegedly assaulted in our centers in those remand detention facilities per year, ensure that the percentage of unnatural deaths in correctional and remand detention facilities per year is reduced, percentage of inmates who escape from correctional and remand detention facilities per year is also reduced. So we did the breakdown, we used the baseline of what we have. And the sub-program facilities, the objective of this sub-program is to ensure that remand detainees and offenders are held in security and humane conditions. And the strategic objective of this program is to ensure that facilities are conducive to rehabilitation and humane incarceration of inmates. The indicator that we have here is the number of new bed spaces created by upgrading of facilities per year, and we've actually broken those numbers in terms of the years and subsequently in terms of the quarters of the current financial year. The sub-program remand, our strategic objective here is to ensure that there is effective management of remand detention processes, to promote and enable participation in court processes, and the output there, which is a strategic objective, clearly outlined in the performance indicator that operational policies aligned with white paper on remand detention are actually in place, and then for the breakdown of those in terms of years and quarters. Sub-program offender management. The strategic objective of this sub-program is to ensure that there is effective case management process and that the sub-program is improved level of overcrowding in correctional facilities. The indicator here is to ensure that the percentage of overcrowding in correctional services is significantly reduced. We're breaking it down in terms of percentages and down managing overcrowding in our centers. That is the breakdown of that. In terms of program number three, which is rehabilitation, we are focusing on rehabilitation, and then the strategic objective of this program is ensuring that offenders' personal development is improving through literacy, education, and skills competency programs. We also ensure that effective incarceration and rehabilitation to protect society, ensure that offending behavior is targeted through access to correctional programs, psychological, social, and spiritual services. Offenders' human development is improved through literacy, education and skills, competency and programs, and also ensuring that there is reduced reoffending to contribute to a safer South Africa. And under the output of this this program, we the indicators are the percentage of offenders who participate in educational programs
a measure against the enrollment register academic year. A percentage of students who participate in skills development programs are measured against the list of students registered for participation, as well as a percentage of inmates who are involved in psychological services, social work services are actually increasing. There's a breakdown in terms of the financial years and also the quarters as indicated. And the program number four, which is CARE, the sub-program strategic objectives is to ensure that inmates are provided with appropriate nutritional services, and then the output is improved nutritional status. The performance indicator is to ensure that the percentage of therapeutic diets that are prescribed for inmates are actually provided and increased. We've broken this indicator in terms of the years until 2017, as well as according to the breakdown of the four different quarters of the current financial year. Our sub-program health services, the objective is to ensure that inmates are provided with health care services to improve life expectancy, also to ensure that we scale up prevention interventions to reduce the new HIV and TB infections. And the output there is the increase in the life expectancy and to ensure that we combat HIV and aid to decrease the burden of diseases like tuberculosis. In terms of an indicator, we is saying that we need to increase the percentage of inmates that are tested for HIV, also ensure that the percentage of inmates that are on antiretroviral therapy is increased, so we're measuring that cumulatively. Also ensure that the TB or the no pulmonary cure rate is actually increased in our patients. We give the normal breakdown of the years with the baseline broken down according to the MCF period years as well as the different quarters of the current financial year. The program hygiene services, the objective of this sub-program is to ensure that inmates are provided with appropriate hygiene services. We also have the output for this sub-program is to ensure that there is increase in life expectancy. The indicator that we're using is the number of management areas with constructed healthcare waste services broken down according to the number of years that are subsequent to this and also breaking it down according to different orders. The last program, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is a program on social reintegration. We have a sub-program, Parole Administration, and a program social reintegration. The strategic objective of this sub-program is to ensure that there's effective management and function of correctional supervision and parole board. And then we have outputs that are identified, which is increased percentage of cases considered by the parole board. Our recommended indicator is to ensure that the percentage of cases submitted by the case management committees and by the parole board is increased. We've got a baseline, we broke it down according to the next 5 years, and also we broke it down in terms of our MCF targets and as well as our content targets. The second sub-program under this program of integration and supervision, the strategic objective here is to ensure that professionals and public are rehabilitated, monitored, and accepted as law-abiding citizens by the communities. And the strategic objective as well is to promote public safety and security by providing services and interventions that will ensure that offenders placed under correctional and parole supervision adhere to their parole or probation conditions. The output of this sub-program is to ensure that persons under the systems of community corrections are successfully reintegrated, and the indicator here is the percentage of parolees without violations. This is an indicator that is actually reflected in our mid-term strategic framework, which is actually aiding or contributing as a building block to the National Development Plan. The other one is to ensure that the percentage of probationers without violations is also increased. The other one is number of persons or parolees, provisionals and awaiting trial persons that are placed under the electronic monitoring system. Broke it down according to the next 5 years, just to facilitate it. We link it to our MCF allocation, indicators, as well as broke it down in terms of the four quarters that we have for the current financial year. The other program is community reintegration reform and social reintegration. The objective, strategic objective of this sub-program is to ensure that probationers and parolees are rehabilitated, monitored, and accepted as law-abiding citizens by the communities. Also to ensure that offenders are provided with access to restorative justice program. The output for this sub-program is to ensure that persons under systems of community corrections are properly reintegrated. And the indicators that we have of this one is to ensure that number of parolees reintegrated through halfway house partnership is increased. You will see an incremental vendor in terms of the number of years. The other indicator is to ensure that number of victims and offenders who participated in restorative justice programs, which is your VOM, and your victim offender dialogue, which is your VOD, is actually increased. We have broken it down in terms of the MTF as well as the current four quarters. The other sub-program is office accommodation, which falls under community corrections. The strategic objective here is to ensure that offenders are provided with access to community correctional services, and then we actually do have objective statement, which is improve administration and supervision of persons under the system of community correction that will lead to the reduction of reoffending or recidivism, crime prevention, as well as social reintegration. The indicator that we have outlined here is the decentralization of community correction so that we can be able to capture all areas of our society and communities. We've broken down this indicator in terms of the next 5 years, as well as the MTA pilot and the fourth quarter that we have. On that note, I would like to thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, it was not short. Thank you. I will allow the honorable members to ask clarity, comments, questions that concerns you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, honorable.
Thank you very much. I'll prefer that we listen on to the presentation. Because I'm looking at the issue level. We're going to present the financial statement of the organization.
This is the suggestion. Can we do another has to go for to all of the presentations and ask us just take notes. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, as member of the Select Committee, in very good afternoon, we're presenting today's budget study for plan. In terms of the presentation, we will briefly highlight the program purposes as indicated in the estimate of national expenditure. We will highlight to the Select Committee the two focus for both change one, which is our program, the economic classification, and also we indicate the different approaches to the different sub-programs, economic classification. We will then highlight the summary of allocation per region and per program. And lastly, we will indicate the summary of the allocation per region per economic classification. As indicated earlier, the department has got 5 budget programs. The first one being administration, second incarceration rehabilitation, third one, the fourth one care, the last one social reintegration. The different program purposes as outlined in the estimate of national expenditure for administration. The administration program provides administrative management, financial information and communication technology, research policy coordination, and good governance support functions necessary for the credit center by the department and in support of the functions of the ministry. The second program, which is one of our core programs, is program incarceration. Program incarceration provides for the appropriate services and well in terms of physical infrastructure that supports the safe and secure conditions of detention. Under this program, we have integrated operations. We have a facility that I talk to the infrastructure falling under that program incarceration
and supplement the mind of the president also falls under that program. Program rehabilitation, another core program of the department, it provides offenders ministry programs and interventions to facilitate their rehabilitation and also to enable their reintegration to society. The fourth program, it is a support program. It provides the needs-based care services. That's where we have our nutrition services, that's where we have our healthcare services for all inmates, which is both sentenced offenders and also the man detainees. The last program social reintegration, mainly focuses on offender preparation for this and sending supervised in their different communities. In terms of the overview chairperson of the 2014 Ethnic Professional Experience for which 21, the fundamentals that guided us in preparing the 2014 budget, mainly as a tight structure and environment that is the country we are experiencing, the same feelings that they indicated to all functional groups, which means our clusters, the fact that as line departments, we had to prioritize our medium term special framework baseline to find any directive, and the major emphasis being on more in the department. And what has been indicated for the 2014 ATS is inflation adjustment of 6.5% for the immediate year, decreasing to 5.4% in 2016 and also 2017 for the salary bill of the department. But this inflation adjustment indicator is a cut across government departments. The inflation focus for goods and services for the current financial year is 5.5%. Increasing to 5.4% for the two outliers. And what becomes very important that is people who prepare the budget, the coordinated budget purposes, is the fact that any inflation outcomes that needs to be above what has been focused in our MTF baseline should be absorbed within the budget baseline of this department. And as any department has indicated with other programs, care. Our largest program is nutrition services, the inflation over the million that I can call has always been way above the inflation average. And also under program one, and which is administration, and program five, being social integration, where we spend a lot of money on free services for community corrections, for the supervisors, the parolees, the probationers. Normally we are hard hit in terms of inflation adjustment on the fuel inflation. In terms of the cost drivers that guide us as a department preparing our budget, mainly for three categories. The first one, the inmate population. And the inmate population includes both sentenced and unsentenced inmates. The second category is the supervision cases, which includes parolees and probation. And the last one is our official, as anybody in terms of department. The projections over the MTF for the cost drivers indicated for supervision cases, indicating them from a baseline of 6,721 in 2014, increasing to 72,239 in 2015, and in 2016, 78,221, the last outside is 84,207. The inmate population, the baseline of that we use in 2014 is 165,836 inmates, which includes both sentenced prisoners and human detainees. For 2015, which is the current financial year, 154,238, decreasing to 152,235 in 2016, and in the last out year to 151,278. The last category of our court drivers, which is the members themselves, we have a funded establishment of 42,006 posts over this MTF. That's the figure that we hold for the 3 years of the MTF. In terms of our performance, at the end of March 2014, we had 2,067 posts, which were carried additional to the establishment. So if you go to our first value, you see the funded establishment of 42,006 posts, and added to that was the amount of 2,740 additional 342,046 posts. At the end of March, we had 2,292 funded posts for vacant, translating to 5.467 at the end of the rate. And throughout the 2014 financial year, the average fixed post called average to put this figure is more in terms of the nominations, international registration, the time and that will happen almost on a daily basis in our environment. So normally then for a year, look at the average from April to March in the financial year. So the average that is for the 2013-14 financial year is the 9,930 posts. And in terms of ourselves trying to down manage the hindrance, we put some processes in place, we decentralize the recruitment process in the department to the various regions, which is the 6 regions. And we've already entered into some partnerships with institutions of higher learning, in particular IT colleges, so as to be able to absorb the training that they produce. And maybe looking at different categories of skills that we're not able to achieve even at a certain. And the other the other part that we maybe as a department already dealing with is to absorb our learners into entry-level situation function course as they become vacant. Because when our learners finish the initial program, we then do not release them to society. What we then do is to absorb them as contract workers within the department and for that 2018 board current additional to the finance establishment. As and when there are vacancies of security posts, we then absorb the manner in accordance to the finance post establishment of the department. Chairperson, the budget of the department for the 42 financial year overall is 9.7 to 1 billion. It's projected to increase to 20.795 billion in 2016 and by year 2017 to reach 22.081 billion. The average growth rate is 5.7%. And within the allocation that have been taken, the amount that we're able to reprioritize within our baseline as a department for the current financial year amounting to 72.6%, 76.6 million. Increasing to 72.8 million in 2016 and 37.9 million in the outer year of the NTEF. We're able to reprioritize within our baseline from non-core goods and services items like catering and all of that to be able to fund other spending policies that we place for as a department. And in terms of the allocations that we created, we were able to then to use the money that we reprioritized for the rollout of electronic monitoring, 28.2 million set aside in 2015, increasing to 29.1 million in 2016, and 28.7 million in the last update of the MTA. The other component that we're able to finance or reprioritize in our own baseline funding was to finance the procurement of the security equipment, set aside 22.6 million in 2015, 22.8 in 2016, and 25 million in 2017. Implementation of the two offender dialogues, we set aside 4 million the current financial year, increasing to 4 million in 2017. The replacement of digital applicator workshop and agricultural machinery and equipment in the current year is 18.8 million, increasing to 15.7 million and 19.7 in the outside. A mass indication is that when it comes to this component of replacement of digital applicator workshop and agricultural machinery and equipment, we didn't start this year. We carried from the work that we started in 2013-14 financial year. As our machinery is getting dilapidated, we had a bid that was submitted to National Treasury. It was not refunded, so we then took that decision that we would then reprioritize whatever is now needed to be able to invest more in the workshop and the cultural equipment. The issue that if we do not set aside for recapitalization in those two categories, it will increase our need for budget for nutrition services, because we are able, through proper cultural national equipment, to ensure that as far as is the capacity available of different funds, that we're produce what we need in the society. So there is a radical effect if you then neglect this investment. At a high level, shop of food in several locations in Sikas, we have the allocation that's indicated earlier, 18 billion, the base increases to 22 billion. Within those allocations, there are amounts that are earmarked, and for the current financial reporting system, is 1.786 billion that is earmarked from the 19.7 to 1 billion. The amount increases to 1.8 billion in 2016 and 1.968 billion in the outside year. The earmarked funding in our environment basically is for accommodation charges, because we're supposed to pay CPW, the National Department of Public Works, for the occupation of their buildings. We all know this, the government buildings don't belong to land function department, but they belong to the National Department of Public Works. So we then pay them and we enable that for occupying space. The second component that is earmarked is for leases. The leases is for community correction offices and also for office buildings. The amount that are earmarked current financially is 79.8 million. It increased into 87.9 million in the last financial year. The third component that is earmarked is municipal services. The amount is 708 million, increasing to 859 million in the last financial year. We've got present maintenance, that is for the building that we're occupying. The present maintenance component that is earmarked here is the one that comes from our baseline, and we can get service by the Department of Public Works. So they can enter into contract, we identify the project, we can talk to them, we also offer professional support in terms of those projects. The amount in the baseline is 207 million, and 228 million in the last outside year. The other component is for the rehabilitation, upgrading and restoration of now the facilities itself. The allocation that is now baseline 206 million in 2015, increasing to 235 million in the last outside year. And then in the eighth chapter, the allocation of care program. So those are the programs as indicated there. What one would like to bring to the attention of the select committee is the decrease, if one would compare year on year, under program administration of 3%, if you could compare the data from 2014 to 2015. What happened is that the property management, which is earmarked funding, was centralized under program 1, the directive of national treasury. For the 2014 NCA processes, they then indicated that this can be decentralized to the relevant program. What we then did was to reallocate the property management and leave under program administration property management that relates to office buildings. And then we took away property management allocation that relates to correctional facilities to program incarceration and the Cedar Secret. And then for the last out of 2 years, the allocation has stabilized. And the social reintegration has indicated the increase that we see year on year, the 10%, which looks like an anomaly. It is the additional funding of EM that has been allocated as indicated earlier to that particular program. If one relates to the goal per program, as indicated, we are a little intensive department, so across the program, budget program for the department, a greater portion of the allocation goes to the salary bill. For program administration, that is 2% of the total of the program, and then the rest goes to good services, and smaller portion goes to capital. And the biggest sub-programs and the program administration in terms of allocation is sub-program corporate services and the program management. I'm asking you that sub-program management in our environment, it does have other components, the whole information technology allocation are under program management. We have amounts that have been set aside for the upgrading of our IT infrastructure in this NCS and the allocation started in the previous NCS from 2012. The decrease in spending on office accommodation is due to the proper things that we take that is removed for program incarceration. And the program incarceration, service fee is 59% and the service is 24%. And the growth mainly in program, in the facilities sub-program, between the period of 2014 to 2017, housing is ourselves creating or planning to create more bed spaces, so that we are aiming to ensure that our bed spaces increases from 180,500 to 126,248 in the outside of the NTS, meaning that we increase bed space by 4,748 new bed spaces from the day that we had at the department. Extension of contract and machinery equipment, it will also increase significantly over the NTS due to the day-to-day maintenance of the charge operational facilities that has been allocated. Program rehabilitation, 1% goes for the salary day with a basis of 25%. As well as for the offender development, the formal education, skills development for offender, psychological services, social work services, spiritual care services, all under that particular program. And mainly the increase we have to compare and to MTS mainly is for the amount that has increased for the allocation of material supplies for the skills development of offenders, and also as indicated earlier in the committee, the additional allocations from the reproduction of the baseline for the workshops and agricultural exercise within the department. The fourth program care, 60% goes to another day. The largest sub-program is nutritional services and health services, but nutritional services being the biggest, and health services is health services for all units within the department, same as nutritional services. And the ART applications are under that program of health care services, and our allocation will also be increased for the HIV and AIDS program, and also the community diseases in terms of trying to identify possible damage they are seeing within our facility. The last program social reintegration, which is the first benefit 84.6%, so that there is 14.2%, mainly the indicated area. We have our community incubation sub-program, we have our supervision sub-program, supervision, the allocation funds for the monitoring of problems, which is professional, that has been used to their communities. The allocation to economic classification indicating honorable chair, competition of employees, the base is 12.2 billion in 2014, increase of 15 billion in the last outer year. Goods and services, we increase from a base of 5.3 billion to 5.9 billion in the outer year. Transfer, the difference, 112 million, decreasing to 90 million. And when it comes to transfer for the reserve component now, department is for the packages of our members of the research company. And depending on the number that we take the system, and depending on the number of those that will retire, then that guides our allocation to that particular economic allocation. The last component is payment for capital assets, is catered also for the public works maintenance and also for the capital works program. It is 1.081 billion, it will increase to 1.095 billion in the outer year. I would comment much on the components of compensation of the base. I've already indicated that either of them is dealing with the cost drivers, that our base for the fund discussion is for 2006, which is being paid throughout the NTS. In terms of goods and services, a critical portion goes to the operation leases and property payments, mainly for the accommodation charges that are indicated as that allocation is then paid to the Department of Public Works. We have the maintenance component of our physical infrastructure, also taking a big chunk in the economic classification of goods and services. Then in the case chain, the allocation per sub-program, now per program, per sub-program, I will draw a mark on that space to say that it does give a picture to see which sub-program within a program takes a component and that purpose. So we'll also use that for pay economic classification. In terms of the allocation per region and per program for the 14-15 fund financial year. Each of this will take about 5.5 million for the deposit system financial year. But that 5.5 million is not necessarily for the sole utilization of agencies as cannabis companies. There are centralized allocations, in other words, there are allocations that benefit the whole department, but the added allocations are allocated and managed and administered in the head office. And we are engaging in that. Out of that 5.5 million, about 3.5 million or so is supposed to centralized functions for self-accommodation, for the two PPP facilities, for the capital program, which is for the habitation infrastructure and also for the maintenance of the physical infrastructure and also for the municipal services. So those allocations, much as they benefit the whole department, but are managed within the services. We then indicate that within the allocation of 19.721 billion, housing region will take 3.08 billion. Western Cape will take 2.746 billion, Eastern Cape 1.997 billion, KwaZulu-Natal 2 billion, Element for KwaZulu-Natal 2.361 billion, Limpopo, Mpumalanga Northwest will take 2.020 billion, Free State, Northern Cape for those two provinces, in our case is one region, and Element is two provinces in one. Free State, Northern Cape will take almost 2 billion. That will then give us the 19.721 billion that is set aside for 2014 financial year for 2021. It indicated the different allocations to the various regions. Mainly, we look at the cost driver, which is the image population, the romantic families, and also the attendance affairs. We then look at the families and parishioner population, and also look at the staff.
Previous year, and also why there's an over
effect in the care program, 111.2%. The care program was grossly overspent, because the department just explained to us why we had presentation in the first get so little or such a small percentage of money, why it was underspent, why the care program was overspent. Then coming to shortages of stock, the annual report of 2012-2013 puts the shortages of stock at 4.2%, if I'm correct, and the presentation just showed that it's increased well to 5.46% is the figure that we've just received. What is the department doing currently about shortages of stock? It's all fair and well to say that we are planning on doing A, B, and C, but this is an issue that has been brought up and has been discussed between the portfolio and the department in the past. I would like to know what is the department doing currently, not planning to do, what are they currently doing to reduce that percentage of staff shortages. 67.5% of the budget in any case going to salaries is a tad much, and the department should perhaps be cautious about that getting out of that. Then the next question I have is with regards to bed space. If I'm correct, in 2013, the department planned to create bed space of 1,045, where none of those beds could actually be, bed spaces could be created as a result to the delays in completing new centres. Then the department in 2013-2014 put their target at 471, and the current target, if I'm correct, is 480. Why in the first place, if it was 2 years ago, it was 1,045, why is it now only 480, and could the department also tell us 480 compared to what is the need? How many beds are actually ultimately needed? Then the last question I have is with regards to, just bear with me for a moment, is with regards to the target rates for unnatural deaths. The current target is 0.035%. That was brought up from last year, 2013-2014's 0.027%. Why has the department changed it from 0.027% to 0.035%? Is the department expecting inmates dying of unnatural causes more this year than in the past, and why? Why then has that been changed slightly higher? Is the department not supposed to actually have a target a bit smaller as we progress? It doesn't help us going backwards. Thank you.
So, 2020, I'm able to, maybe I just a chance. professional services. For example, an effective synergy that is being used by the department in proposing with civil structures. You have your CSF structure, community safety forums. That should be, of course, addressing in terms of your, what you call your ground monitoring progress, because they are in the toilet and they need the surveillance. And of course, the larger your NGO structures, how, what is the synergy that the government has in that regard? And of course, yes, of course, I do that in terms of finance on digital monitoring measures. I don't know how far the department has gone in implementing that digital monitoring measures in other regions. Because we are our provinces, we also want to see this realized in our provinces. And the other one, yes, I hear that we speak of correctional services, legislation and act. As members of parliament, of course, we are obliged to be knowing this. As you will know that we are, this is our first, or yeah, our first meeting with you, and most of these acts and legislation are not with us. We will, of course, appreciate that next time you provide us with these things. Although, of course, we must do our own research, but as well as we are there, I think we can offer better access. On the issue of tribunal, of course, some members there are raised that it is close to the community. Mostly, yes, I will let me put my question very, very focused around the civilian cases for 2 years. You find them being kept almost a year, 2 years, in prison cases are not progressed. You see, what measures are you having? I understand the Justice Department is trying to impose in terms of making sure that our justice systems is well effective and sufficient in assisting that level, but what is other measures you have as department? Issue of peace, this is very important. You know, we train people, after training them, give them those skills that are necessary, but not expensive. Especially in your case, these people you train them, I want to know what methods or programs do you put in place in relation to making sure that you learn they are good skills and given values, they are well given what you call a job plan, they are being afforded with job placement to departments that we have, as you are a department, I understand you understand we also have the edge on intergovernmental relations, which it should assist us in making sure that these people are not trained and they are out, they should get proper employment and moving around. Of course, if they have skills and they are moving around with having jobs, don't go back to crime. And of course, in the issue of your community involvement, as I said, it is of our concern, you see, that whatever happens within all sectors of government, we should, of course, be focusing on job creation and so on. Within community, we have cooperative small living farmers. How do we then relate to that as a department? And how do we then influence our own members to be engaged on this field? Because we cannot only preserve them on security, as you said, and other relevant measures should be used. What is our role there, and how do we prevent it? And of course, in this case, the security issues, I just wanted to wonder, this one. If these learners have obtained any qualification in terms of skill or whatever, is there any screening process are you doing, security? Security screening or security classification of these operators, because I understand you will be training them and trying to give them opportunity in terms of security jobs. Is there any screening process taking place? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. I'll give it to Honorable Mohafi.
much, Chairperson. Allow me to welcome the presentation. Although it is in terms of the outline of the presentation, out of 10 that was presented, it was more of information, 8 in terms of the outline. Key and temporary to us, I think, is on two aspects, annual performance plan. And as a chair, I just want to put an emphasis. If you check in terms of the execution of the responsibility of Department of Correctional Services, key and central is the personnel. Like honorable member earlier on indicated, the vacancy rate, it really needs much to be desired. I just want to establish how many of the funded posts are awarded to trying to cover what the Honorable Ali said, which regions specifically are affected, and which centers are the most vacancies in terms of category, if it's possible. The custodian personnel, how many? Educationists, how many? Professional nurses, psychology, occasional counselors, security officer, and also social workers. This is also in terms of the slide number 36, if I'm mistaken, out of the presentation. I just want to check here, what are the plans for each region that has been put forth in order to assist in terms of choosing the vacancy rate set outlined in terms of the category? To Chair, on the issue of overcrowding, what is the plan of the department in terms of alleviating overcrowding per register? I know for that matter it might be per particular area, so you can always locate that in this particular region, this is where we are having a serious challenge in terms of the overcrowding. What is the plan and for the particular region in terms of reducing the overcrowding? The issue of the states. To what extent does the staff get involved in aiding the health case? And maybe it is possible, these specific centers are always affected in terms of health case. Maybe the department can also help us as part of our oversight to check what are the corrective steps that are taken into consideration to address the problem, including deterring the staff involvement, particularly on that. Chair, when the introduction was made, we were able to pick up that the commissioner, the incumbent one, is SP. I'd just interested to know, in terms of the SP, are there other positions that are having SP? And which positions are they specifically for realizing the criticality of the position? And what are the steps that are in place in terms of addressing that particular aspect? I think that would be a submission.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just for clarity, on page 27, I think it's slide 53, we have the budget approval from 3 of the implementation. Now, skills training is estimated performance of 2013-14 is at 28.7%. And 2012-13, 50.25%. I just want to know the decrease. Why the decrease is almost half? And then the same for executive colleges, 2013-33.9%. Executive colleges, 13.6%. Maybe there is some reason for that. I don't know. Just to explain it honestly. But just to somewhat justify the budget in my mind, just want to know, what are the success rates of these skills training initiatives in the FPT policy? Are they really successful? Is it helping in any way Because I have a serious doubt about the FPT colleges in the mainstream education page. Just to say, is it really successful? Do we have something that can tell us here that this is a success rate that we have with skills? We have 20 entrants, artisans, and success rate 18 pass or something, you know. Just something like that, just to ease our minds on this budget. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, so this is page 25. I'm looking at more than half of the total application per program budget related to incarceration. And one of your programs becomes an indicator they defined is to reduce the percentage of overcrowding in correctional centers. In 2012 and 2013, we say declined by 7%. Firstly, what contributed to the decline and has it been identified? And if it has been identified, why are we only projecting to reduce this by only 8% in the medium-term target in the outer years? Knowing that these are criminals and a reduction will result in a saving to the department's budget. More importantly, Chair, I hate being contradicting, but it seems every single report I'm getting these contributions. Because, Chair, there is a contradiction in that the step plan that's presented, the proposal to reduce overcrowding by 1% in the outer years as a medium-term achievement. Yet in your final presentation, your budget will increase in the budget. And even with inflation at 5.5%, it will not justify an increase of 2.2 billion after a percentage decrease. This is enormous. How do you project on one side that we are going to reduce, and this is specifically due to the incorporation budget, you propose to decrease it, yet your budget that you're proposing on the other side is with increase. And you increase that your strategy to be inflation related. What is this what the inflation rate is? Can I have a clarity on that? Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. I think let's hand over to the officials to respond. Offender number, offender total, both pensions and unpensions, elections and officials. The other information that we will be providing, Chairperson, maybe on a later stage, that talks to particular instances, we shall provide that in a written response. And I would like to give this opportunity to the acting CEO to respond to questions that the financial request are requesting clarity, and then the other patients will then respond to them in their responsibility that we are working.
Thank you, Commissioner. Chairperson, on the issue of the AGA report, the next patient is taken on support under pertinent and conduct management. The Auditor General raised the issue of our officials who would benefit from these things, and they do not agree that they have an issue. Be it themselves, the employees of government, or be it that they are related to people who work for government. It is a must for us officials to be present. Even if a family member is, nothing says that family members cannot be. But what is important is that that family member, as defined, should then say that I do have a person who works for government. Now, what we are experiencing, initially we had an official who would participate within the department. And if you look at our own act, it promises all of us officials to actually be within corruption services. Now, what is happening with it is our officials who would then participate in the department in other government departments, and also in other departments. Currently, it's not as easy, but as a department, we are able to see our own employees only on the staff, so I can detect who has, well, if I want to buy the information that has been presented in the picture. But I cannot view the paper that has been issued of any other government department. I think officials have now taken the opportunity. So we do not have a system that is proactive in being able to detect at the time that any government department will be adjudicating that particular bill. It's an issue that is raised in the same forum to national treasurer that should affect all of the government departments that particular system will be given. So that proactively, and not just for agents only, but proactively, at the time of the meeting, they check numbers to be using the IT number, producing an IT number, you need to be able to see whether this person is an employee of government. If it is an employee of government and does not get, then you would automatically disqualify. The other category that AGM of Environment identifies under procurement is every official, if I'm to do any remunerative work outside the past service, I must together, and I must get authorization to actually conduct that particular work. So we have officials who would not get authorization to do initial work outside public service. Now, actually, what happens is that they are able themselves to utilize their system and they can get information across the applications of all government departments all the year. But currently also, it's up to provincial layer level that the agency themselves can be able to detect the participation of. At municipal level, public entities is still a challenge with municipalities for different systems and all that. It's not as standardized as your provincial government layer and the national government layer. We have requested that an auditor general in our interagency to say we do not want to return to hear from them that so and so conducted business in Malanga or in the same case. In another government department that would request them to assist us in getting that information, even if it's on a voluntary basis, of course, we have to pay for those services, which we have agreed to pay for the services when we're in the human department. It has not yet been satisfied the request that we put forth to them, whilst we put the request also at national level for any development of 8%. That will be able to access all of the subjects that have been issued in this particular issue. But we are on a receipt of that information across government that we is then able to accept that an official of CCS has participated in the aid treating process in the agricultural provincial department. We then interrogate the necessary information, validate that information, we record that as irregular expenditure in our records, or we have record that because we have been shut out of the bid, and then process that issues are being moved for. I must indicate that there is good cooperation among us as and the people of the government in the information, so it's really take action. But it's more active than I think the other so far is the
as a refugee call, as a college question,
support and taking a fundamental element to program information for us where English are able to citizens and institutions because the citizens in hygiene service. Is it correct that we need over the years program rehabilitation when it comes to the expenditure, normally is one of the programs that under spend allocation and the allocation as a percentage of total vote is normal. But not only when we look at program rehabilitation looking only at what is allocated or what is votable. We have as a department NGOs that is part of it, who are offering correctional programs which are under program rehabilitation. We have quality assurance program and currently there's 25 of them sitting in the qualified by the department so as to ensure that those NGOs are not rendering programs that our own standards would be substandard to go to assess them. That's why we give them quality assurance of those programs. We're not seeing those NGOs. They are rendering, so they are supplementing what is allocated. We have quite a number of spiritual care professionals, pastors, all that, different religions who render their services to our offenders free of charge. That's supplement voted. We have our own spiritual care in the department, those we cut off the vote. But the ones that are coming out from the broader community render services in our facilities, their money in terms of them rendering those services will be not cottage, so we're not we do participate in the National Skills Fund. The National Skills Fund that is under the Department of Higher Education and Training. And we have trained owners in different skills program using the National Skills Fund program. That is what we voted, we will change one to correctional services. You will see that our department of higher education. So there is partnership between the two departments. We have a memorandum of understanding between the two departments. I know that in the last financial year, so we trained about over 5,000 offenders on the different program based on their correctional services. So that's what we vote. Our offenders are getting the relevant services from those companies that are outside the department. But the issue of program rehabilitation and spending, if we look at the composition of the program, it's labor intensive, trained professionals, social workers, the psychologists, all those components of professionals. We do have, as much as the average vacancy rate in the department, about 5% or so. But when it comes to those professionals, then that's when they experience highest vacancy levels of other components, 40%, 30%, 40%. Our challenge still remains attracting those professionals, while attracting also retaining them in the department. So that's one challenge that we've been experiencing. So that's why we on year, see program rehabilitation as understanding, but if you analyze the understanding, it's not the implementation of the rules. Of course, when a post-income rate is not there, then also the related allocation of the administration costs, the business and all that will remain unstable. That psychology could be on the question of the allocation across regions in our case, which are province, but we also remember other regions that have more than one province. As indicated, we look at how many inmates are in that particular region. We look at the history, the project based on history, in terms of the inmate population, both the Rwandan detainees and also the sentence offenders. We then look at the supervision cases, how many probationers with 3 years history, parents and project managers. So we always look at the 3 years when we're doing the projection. So we then look at system cases and say over the past 3 years, how many supervision cases on average has system case had? Then we look at the current, that is their case books. Then based on this, look for it, which is 2+1, and then project management is the case books. Officials, we look at the funded establishment. To say, in terms of the 4206 posts that are fine in the department, what is the share of this particular question, this particular problem, and based on that, we then do the allocation. So this was our main customer. But I put at the end of the day, as much as we're doing this, because you know that you're facing some kind of variance, if there's a shift for a particular reason, we then consider that we monitor on an annual basis, and budget committee will monitor on a quarterly basis. So if in any particular in-year monitoring amount of periods, we see a shift in trend, this is then discussed, and that particular reason is not completely different for now, all of a sudden the budget. More fruitful than one projected. We then look at each one, and for numbers that are down, each one by increases, but also you need to stabilize it because you can't do that on a month because that your allocations will be higher than currently. So we make an analysis, we present that, and the budget committee will apply it mine, and if any reason then we see a shift in calculation trend, then the allocations will follow to build our cost drivers as the customer. So that is answering the question of my hidden table. If you look at image number, your cases and your housing and Western case, in terms of numbers, your image population, they get numbers. The issue of bed spaces as projected. We look at the physical program, one of them. What is it that we're planning? And remember that this one is okay. What is it that we're planning? And projects that could yield additional bed spaces, whether it is medical rehabilitation, whether it is construction, and that would then inform the numbers that we are projecting over the LGS in terms of bed spaces. In terms of actual, that would be different because normally when it comes to construction projects and at the capital program, it's one thing to plan, it's another that those contractors will then finish those project within the projected time period of a particular project. So that is the challenge. And of late, we do have challenges around the quality of contractors that undertake such huge projects, wherein you will find that in terms of estimated time to finish a project, with estimated to accomplish construction, and then that some of these contractors become insolvent, others short work, then other contractors might not be controlled to go and undo in certain instances the poor quality work that was done by other contractors. That creates an impact on then the projection of bed space numbers. Ideally, what's the number of bed spaces that was run there in the department, ideally it's supposed to be each inmate per bed. That's the ideal situation. So if our inmate population is 186,000, ideally it should be living 186,000 beds. Ideally, but that's an ideal situation as well when we do have an overcrowding across a region, varying levels as well. And in terms of our construction session, the one.
So, I'd like to make a result in the result, but I changed the question of I had in, we never asked a question in terms of the opponents of contractors who proclaim this contract or tenders, because in our sales we have Supply Chain Management Act, and I even have such from myself. Thank you.
When it comes to all the physical infrastructure projects, the maintenance projects, the your capital work program, it is not the department that does the procurement process. We're relying on the procurement process at the Department of Public Works. So we should do that. But if I have allocation fits in our vote, we then pay them as and when services have been rendered in all submission of validated.
Honorable Deputy Minister, Chairperson, members of the committee, let me upfront indicate that as a department, we have duly noted, and for us it remains a concern around the
the extent to which we are able to see the vacancies on time in terms of the districts that are there. But perhaps let me start off by, there were a couple of questions that were raised that I want to deal with first. Before we go into, there was a question raised around their program, what are the vacancies, and ultimately I will then end up with some of the interventions I think that were raised to say what is it that we're doing as a department going forward, some of the considerations. It is correct that the position of the National Commissioner is vacant, and I'm in the process of filling that position. The Minister is on record as saying that we shall have finished that position by the end of August, the latest being September, all things being equal. There is also a vacancy at a BDG level of the CDC Strategic Management, which is currently occupied by my colleague, Mr. Clarence Vassaroka. Also, the vacancy at the senior level of the acting CFO, or the CFO rather, which is occupied by my colleague, Menandi Maeka. Those positions, in our interactions with the Deputy Minister as well as the Minister, it is very clear that we need to fill those positions on an urgent basis, and that is a commitment that we are providing that plans are already in place to ensure that those positions are filled in the periods that are indicated. They were advertised before and there were plans already to fill that, but we have had the elections, we've had a change in administration, and we've had to then put the plans for filling those in appearance to ensure that the new administration is then provided with the opportunity to fill the position accordingly. So just to respond to the question around the key positions that are vacant. There was also a question raised around the extent to which the department is committed towards skills development in line with the mandate from government. And one has to report that we should rank ourselves among one of the leading departments as far as skills development is concerned. In the main, looking at the program that we have rolled out on internships, that between 2010 to date, a total of 2,440 interns were taken through the system within the department. On the leadership, the total 2,440 between 2010 to 8. That is the number of interns that have gone through the system. On the other hand, we have leadership. In that front, we have exposed 4,012 young persons and taking them through our learnership program. What is notable about the learnership program, as highlighted earlier on by my colleague, is that in 2012 we took a very decisive decision that upon having sent these learners, where they are taken to our colleges in Cullinan and another one in Bronstadt, that we shall not release them back. Rather, we use them, we grow them in our own timber, so that at every level right now, as we speak, we don't have vacancies of custodial officials at every level, because these learners, upon graduation, once they've gone through the 12-month program, 3 months at the college, and 9 months being exposed to experiential learning, they are then absorbed as contract workers, which will then explain what you see in front of yourself of the numbers that are additional to the establishment. That is accounted for by the contract workers in the main being of learners that are then enrolled. In part, it was about skills development, but in part, it was also about a security recognition that you cannot take people through and expose them through your security apparatus, teach them how to shoot and that, and then release them. We are the only department, one in space, that has brought or taken that particular view, to the extent that we received a recognition from the Department of Higher Education last year as one of the leading departments as far as skills development is concerned. Allow me, committee members, to then deal with some of the interventions.
interventions and not necessarily to dwell much on what we are doing as far as ensuring that we fill positions. It is correct, and I will shortly share with you some of the steps. Where we are getting as a department is in the main, in the areas of social work, psychology, nurses, educators. Those accounts right now, medical doctors can be included in that. Those account for the largest percentage as far as our vacancies are concerned. One of the proposed solutions around, and I will just zoom in on the social work. We have a challenge as far as OSD are concerned. And one of the regulations is that you have new salary levels that have been determined through the OSDs, but also there are public service regulations that will say, once you grant a person a budget, upon completion of that budget, upon their qualification, they have to start at entry level of their new chosen career. That will be the challenge. So I have to share with the committee members. DCS has invested just over 5 million from 2004 to date in budgets for social work. 5.4 million. Now, the challenge that we are having is that we started with this program internally, so we would grant bursaries. Now, these officials that would already have been earning higher than the entry level of the OSD's entry level class for social work, which stands currently at 149,000. Anna. Now, we then have the net result is that we have just over 42 qualified social workers within the department that we are unable to deploy as social workers, because the reality is that when it comes to issues of what goes into your pocket, unfortunately our colleagues opt to then continue performing custodial duties, because once they choose to go into the social work team, they are then out of their pocket drastically. To that extent, we have drafted a submission where we are requesting, and this submission will shortly be put en route through the DM office and the minister, where we are requesting an audience with the Department of Public Service and Administration for us to essentially ask for a blanket deviation in this regard, to say, can we not rather have a grand investigation around these 42 individuals so that they are not given an increase? All that we are saying is that they move across with what they were earning prior to their qualification as social workers. So these are some of the interventions that we have highlighted. The second intervention, as I've indicated earlier on, is around where we are saying, upon the completion of learnership, we absorb those learners, so that ensures that we don't have entry-level vacancies. The other consideration that we are currently implementing is that previously your treatment was largely decentralized, so that if you were to place an address, everything had to go through head office. And of course, if you have an official sitting at head office, then you receive an address for a TA, say from Mpumalanga. You would then take an appropriate decision under the circumstances and wait for all other positions to come through, so that when you place an address, there is a format. Now, what we have since done is to decentralize the recruitment to the regions, so that each regional commissioner is then now accountable for the filling of positions. And as the commissioner pointed out earlier on, we are in a position to provide written reports in terms of the vacancies per region, as well as the vacancies per program. What will also be shortly happening is that we are going to be concluding our performance agreement following the strat plan and the revision of the annual performance plan. And one of the critical things that we have not done previously is to link the filling of position to each branch head and to each regional commissioner, so that we give it the right level of prioritization, which previously
has not necessarily been the case. We've also entered into MOUs with institutions of higher learning, Telemedical Technology is one of them, where we are seeing particularly to try and address as well as accidents, because that's another area where we are really experiencing challenges. And so the vehicle that we've identified is entering into memorandum of understanding and ensuring that at least with your FET colleges, you are then able to simply accept their graduates upon graduation, that these graduates, you provide them with a space for them to come in and at the very least have the opportunity to undergo experiential learning. The other thing that we are doing in relation to the challenge on recruitment, and this is upon the realization that when people join correctional services, they join as a group. So there will be a group of 1976, as an example. And upon retirement, and perhaps 76 is not the right example, but a group of, there were correctional officials in 1976. When they retire upon between the age of 60, they leave en masse. And that often then creates a challenge where we have an aging workforce. And one way that we are trying to bolster that is by ensuring that we get the entry levels to be properly staffed with your learners, as I've indicated before, but also to get into a space where you are able to forecast and to say, in this year 2014, an X number of officials are going to reach the age of 60. It therefore does not have to wait for them to reach the age of 60, whereas you can proactively start running your address and knowing normally the amount of time it takes you to ensure that you fill the positions. There is nothing wrong in ensuring that you roll out the address so that by the time that the person exits, you are also able to ensure that that position is filled. And with that, you may even get to a point where there is a handover between the person who is leaving and the person who is coming on board, so that it is that seamless transition between the old situation and the new person that is coming on board. One of the other considerations that we still would want to have discussions with the Department of Present Department, and this is informed by the view that the Department of Education is responsible for providing education nationally, whether you are incarcerated or outside. Department of Health is responsible for provision of health care services, whether you are incarcerated or outside. And the same would apply with social development and so on. And to try and craft a partnership that says, in areas where we are not able to attract people, are these departments not able to provide us with capacity? And if there's a matter of exchange of funds, it is then done at central level to say, you know, provide us with social work services in this area, and at the end of the month, it's reconciliation so that that department, because we have to get to a stage, Chairperson and members, where we look at this thing holistically. As a department, we view ourselves as a department that is a community within a community. But there are limitations. The issue of accepting the categories of health is one that has across all government departments. And there is that need for us to say, yes, it's good to compete for scarce things, but as you do that, are you not perhaps creating a bigger problem for government? Because when I go and recruit a medical doctor, that medical doctor is leaving another vacancy elsewhere. And we find it that it happens within the department where you would take a social worker from one region to another. You look good in that you have filled your vacancy, but then there is another vacancy that is arisen. And that unfortunately has created a situation of job hopping where those persons that are occupying scarce and skilled areas are unfortunately prone to job hopping, because they are aware that from a demand point of view, they are occupying perhaps the higher echelons. So for us, it requires us to have that holistic approach as government to say, the provision of health, there is one ministry that is responsible for the provision of health. There is one ministry that is responsible for the provision of education. But those discussions still have to take place so that we have in place a proper framework that is, particularly in the far-flung areas where we will not be able to attract, or where there are challenges that we're experiencing in attracting persons to go in and work in those areas.
in the main due to the environment, in the main also due to the amount of money that we might be offering for veterans to work in those areas. Thank you, Joseph.
Ms. Rothman can respond to the awaiting trial period. Thank you.
Sorry, the first one of the chair, listening to the input made by the, I'm not sure the name of the gentleman, I think it's very clear that most of the issues are relating to the public admin and public administration admin. And the deal in place that is just about to be finalized would really urge, maybe from their side, if they can also forward their submissions to the select committee of COCTA, where then when we deal with these issues of having one thing window public service approach would be helpful. The issues of OSD that has been raised here, I think earlier on we did deal with them in the select committee. And I'm just saying most of the innovations that they're coming up with can also be helpful in terms of addressing the inputs for the bill. I was just making a comment.
Thank you, Chef. I compare.
Yeah, Chair. No, I'm covered in terms of training. Just one service that I will need. Under rehabilitation progress. Then if you also train this you train them. I just want to know methods. Because after training them, there must be measures to integrate them with society and get job placements and so on. Because it will be not useful to train them and not get job placement for them. And yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister, Chairperson and Members of Parliament. And I recall there were two questions related to Remand Detainees, what we used to refer to as a waiting trial. The one is on the time period, and the second one is on children. I'll deal with both of those. The first question, I think in part is related to why do we no longer measure the length of detention within our Remand Detention facilities. We used to have this indicator on our annual performance plan, and we've removed it for the simple reason that we don't control that indicator. It is something that is obviously very much influenced by the actions of the South African Police Services, as well as the NPA and Justice, as well as the Judiciary. But that doesn't mean that we haven't continued to monitor it or to contribute to the reduction of the length of detention. There are a number of interventions that we are involved in. One of them is a monthly meeting that we have called the Criminal Justice Review, where we sit with all of these role players, and we discuss, amongst others, also issues of more detention. What we've started now is what we've called the Top 20 Project, where we look at those 20 longest awaiting trials, and look first of all at interventions in those cases specifically, but then also to identify where are the barriers, and to try and break down those barriers wherever we can. We also, where the law allows, refer certain cases to court. So our Section 49G allows us to refer cases to court where people have been awaiting trial longer than 2 years for the magistrate judge to make a decision whether they need to continue to be detained, and we monitor those figures as we go. There's also a number of other things like the bail protocol, where we can refer people to court to say this is somebody that has been granted bail and still remains within our detention facility for consideration of reduction, but only in very specific instances and only where people are charged with very specific crimes. We also coordinate with other stakeholders, for example, with legal aid, where we can share information. But very critically, we collect information on all of the remand detainees within our center, and we analyze them. It allows us to send it through to, for example, the Magistrates Commission, so they can do their own analysis on in which magistrate courts are the longest waiting trials. The judges discuss these at their monthly meetings as well. And we've seen a considered constant reduction of remand detainees over the last few years, and particularly the last year, and I think that is pretty much due to that kind of coordination. On the issue of children in remand detention facilities, I'm not sure if it's both sentence and remand. I'll try on the both. Since the implementation of the Child Justice Act, there's been a very, very careful monitoring of children in facilities. We have, the figure that we have is in 2010, we had 538 sentenced and 497, so more than 1,000 children. And when we talk about children, that's between the ages of 14 and 13. With the advent of the Child Justice Act, many of the children have now been placed in the Department of Social Development in secure facilities. So at this point, our annual average for the last financial year for unsentenced was 129, and for sentenced 243, so we've seen a substantial reduction. And also we continue to monitor that and continue to see reduction over the years. I think that those are the two questions related to remand. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, still on?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. There was a question raised around which I think I should deal with right now. Just giving the facts on the critical categories, just the vacancy rates in those areas. Within education, at the end of March, in line with the financial or the annual report, we had a vacancy rate of 13.6%, professional nurses 13.4%, psychologists it was 24.3%, social workers it was at 16.1%. There was also a request just to share from a budget program overall the vacancies. At administration level, and this is now drawn from a reporter's as on Friday, so this is just giving you a sense. At administration was 12.8%, incarceration 3.2%, rehabilitation 13.3%, care 9.5%, social integration 5.5%. Now, just to wrap up some of the things that were, there was that question raised to say what we do. Just in summary, I think I spoke about the communication lines that we've opened with the Department of, or that we will be opening with the Department of Public Service to address the father-related challenges, because those father-related challenges are just highlighted the issue of social worker only, but it does cut across all our critical areas, because once you give people boundaries when they are working within your department, there are greater chances that they are already in at a far higher level, particularly given that they have been in the service for quite a while. There are chances that a large percentage of those people will be ending at a higher level than the entry level of their new chosen career. So for us, that deviation would basically be, it is really, and this has to be understood within the context. You are not saying that people must be getting an increase. It is simply saying, move across with what you are currently in. And looking at it from a financial bearing perspective, the 5 million that we have spent in granting these social workers, frankly speaking, would be money that would have gone down. And that way government is not able to realize that investment, because it is now a question of forcing these officials to go and work and to experience what they have. And that, of course, is what attendant, social-related challenges that you as an employer will ultimately face at some point, and they will manifest themselves through, employee health and wellness-related challenges. I've also cited the issue of decentralization, something that we are doing. I've highlighted that we would, going forward, ensure that the filling of positions is linked to the branches and to the regional commissioners. I've also highlighted the issue of the MOUs that we've entered into within the main department of the Urban Invest of Technology, and some of the MOUs that are in the pipeline with FET colleges. I've also spoken about ensuring that we enhance the current setup where the learners that we have are basically absorbed into the system, so that we, using the concept of
growing your own team, but we don't have vacancies at entry level, because these learners are essentially playing a critical role in the custodial phase.
Chairperson, the question on incarceration, youth development case, will request Dr. Kukie to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, and members of this committee. I would like to start with the skills development aspect that a number of elements have been mentioned in terms of the skills development for offenders. The Honourable Member who mentioned the screening or assessment, I can just confirm, yes indeed, there is assessment of the offenders before participating in a particular program, in any program for that matter. But in skills development, yes, because we need to place you at a certain level. Secondly, and I think there is a component, community liaison, that could perhaps answer the issue of placement after training better. But there are a number of initiatives coming from regional commissioners who involve business communities in the training of offenders. And within that interaction, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, jobs come from that interaction where business people would invest with regard to equipment, as the acting CFO has mentioned, or some funding, and upon completion of a particular program would then accommodate the trained offender upon release. That in terms of the skill development, screening or assessment pre and post. I think it's the honourable member from Gauteng who asked the clarity in terms of the drop with regard to the 2012-13 and 2013-14 financial year. And if I look at the ADP, the columns there, the honourable member would see that in terms of the indicator, FET, college indicator, it indicates that it's a new indicator. So this is for implementation in the Department of Correctional Services of the National Curriculum Vocational. That brought into play another approach. So whilst we previously had training practical and theory combined, the FET college in this case only measures for the theoretical part, and the director of the other indicator, your skills training part, that then caters for the practical part. So the 12-13 indicator, in both instances, you will see that there was some uncertainty as to how to deal with this now, where you have combined. Now you need to have a denominator or a catchment area that you need to determine will this be what was theory and what was practical in previously. And that is where you will find that the denominator in the FET college for 2012-13 it was 10,000. So what you say, 3,000 out of 10,000. The next year, we approached differently than the 10,000 shifted to 21,000. And that is where you have now a differentiation in the performance. You see, if you have 3,000 out of 10,000, and then 3,000 or 2,000 out of 20,000, there will be a drop in performance. That has been clarified, so going forward, the denominator, in other words, the number of offenders that we are going to work with in terms of scope, that has been clarified within the particular component and within the department. So it should stabilize for now. For those key ideas with the implementation of the National Curriculum Vocational. There was another aspect, those aspects I think dealt with the field development. Whether it's successful, I think your one question was, is it FET college scenario working within correctional services?
We follow the same curriculum as the education department, higher education and basic education. So yes, I think it's also still early days within those departments. But as I said, but in different provinces, we have different initiatives that's assisting the process. There's a very good example in the region of KwaZulu-Natal that has started with the Majuba FET College. They assist in the Western Cape, Northlink FET College. So yes, we will see, I think, positive results in other provinces also, but there's still further development within the Department of Higher Education and Training in terms of FET colleges. The matter of escapes, I'm acting commissioner. I think that Honourable Jefferson, I will stop the skill development of the President's University.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Sivela, on electronic monitoring, I think we shall conclude on that first round of questions.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Chairperson and all the members. I'm going to respond to two questions. The one on the implementation of electronic monitoring in all the provinces, and the second question was on community involvement of the Department of Correctional Services. In terms of electronic monitoring, we have piloted electronic monitoring at the Department of Correctional Services, and the pilot ended on the 30th of June 2014, and the target for the pilot was 150 per week. What we have done, we have taken through a cumulative 733 offenders through the system of electronic monitoring. From today, Honourable Chair, we have started rolling out the electronic monitoring system in the question of services. We started by checking and taking of those who were already in the system of electronic monitoring. We started in the provinces Gauteng, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga and Northwest, that is today. And the target for the current financial year is 500 people who will be under the system of electronic monitoring. And the intention is not only to utilize it for further professionals, it's also to use it as an alternative sentencing, depending on the cost if they determine to use it as such. And also to down-manage overcrowding in our remand detainees facilities so that some remand detainees, they can be given aid in the condition of electronic monitoring. And we are targeting 1,000 at any given time over the outside at the end of the system. But cumulatively, those figures can be more in any particular year. On the question of committee involvement, in addition to stakeholder engagement function within our chief directorate of communication, within the branch committee corrections, we have a dedicated directorate and committee liaison. And this directorate is instrumental in making sure that we partner with the other government departments, for example, in this case, to the education, it will be your human settlement and non-governmental organizations, community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, and non-profit organizations and business. We also have entered into an MOU with the National Council of Traditional Leaders. What we do when we have a stakeholder engagement that is invisible, and we have our public victim offender dialogue, and also sometimes community outreach where we will be handing over a house that has been built by our provisor school or whatever program, be that gardening, like on the Mazdiva Day, we will be going up to, we invite our partners up to correctional services to be with us in those events. Since our white paper, Africa is also facing as violations of the Fair Terms of Competition. We partner with the organizations and family departments that have mentioned above, so that, because in committee questions, it is our responsibility to ensure that offenders that in place in our correctional centers are socially integrated and successful. So we also partner with fitness in terms of employability, and these organizations that we partner with as well, they assist with training as well. And also, we also use them as our service committee request, and we also, they also assist in placing victims so that they can participate in the respective justice system. And we also do community profiling within our community corrections branch. You might have heard that we also have other NGOs that partner with us in terms of giving some terrorists, because you realize that when offenders come out of our correctional services, there's stigma attached to having been incarcerated, and some employers are reluctant to employ those offenders. So through the program of Over, we try to make this police entrepreneurs, and they sometimes are planning to establish co-op or register co-op so that they can also work together. We also partner with these NGOs in terms of halfway houses, where we don't own houses as development of the. We partner with NGOs who are experienced in that area, so that communities who are qualified to be considered for parole, but do we have support systems and mental addresses, we integrate them through those halfway houses. And we also partner for programs that is for the offenders to complete their sentence plans, and also for referral. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much. With regard to the case, I need to contend that our escapes, Chairperson and members of Parliament, have gone down significantly, and that is attributed to the measures that we have been putting in place the past years, especially during festive periods. However, there are some escapes that when we do investigation, we realize that there was some collusion, and in that case, we then report these escapes to the South African Police Services. We also do obtain intelligence reports from the community. And as such, Chairperson, we have a vigorous and ruthless approach to those officials that collude with the offenders to escape. So far this year, Chairperson, our escapes are still going down, and that can only be attributed to the management function that our officials are doing at our different correctional facilities. Overcrowding, Chairperson, remains a problem for the department, especially with regard to remand offenders. But what we have been doing as a pilot in the region of Gauteng was to implement as well those sections of the Criminal Procedure Act, and as a result, the number in Gauteng of remand detainees has gone significantly down. But just to explain to members of Parliament, the department has a capacity of 120,000, and most of our offenders that are incarcerated, sentenced offenders, just over 110,000, and then the remaining remand detainees. Of those remand detainees, we try to accommodate, because it was a cabinet decision that correctional services must then take responsibility of all remandees, and hence we have the remand detention branch. But we're doing well with those numbers, together with the police and the NPA. But what we have to say is we need whatever accommodation we can get so as to further reduce the overcrowding levels. What significantly helps us to reduce overcrowding levels is when we have amnesty. The last amnesty was in 2012 that President Zuma had announced, and it brought a significant relief with regard to overcrowding, and brought also a consequent saving on our budget.
which was very much significant. The fact is, Chairperson, the crime levels in our country are still very high, and as a result of that, whenever there are actions by the police services to curb and reduce criminality, it ends up with us having more and more offenders. It is important, Chairperson, to also mention to members that as the presentation has been done this afternoon, that we have three main core functions, which is remand for awaiting trial detainees, incarceration for those that are sentenced, and community correction. And we are moving in that direction to ensure that those different categories of offenders are given the necessary attention as well as the treatment programs that could enhance incarceration towards reintegration into community. And our budget, therefore, is also in that line, in that direction, mainly because of the numbers that we have that are huge in the regions, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape. That informs also our budget because of the different activities that we have in those regions. Just to indicate to members, our last social test on Monday, Gauteng was just having over 55,000 offenders, whereas Eastern Cape was having 18,000 offenders. And Mpumalanga combined with Limpopo and Northwest, just over 23,000. This informs then the budget of the department. And it is then in our plans to see to it that where the need for these services of correctional services are, we then allocate accordingly. I think last thing for me, Chairperson, is to also indicate that in the year 2003, when we did our last restructuring, correctional services moved from a provincial approach to a regional approach solely because of the scope of work in the smaller provinces like your Northern Cape. We had to combine with Free State and the Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest then compared equally with your bigger regions like Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape. I think that transformation was informed by the scope of work as well as the number of offenders and officials. From me, Chairperson, that is our thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the community and your dedication. I want to hello, members.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Okay. Yeah. I'm afraid my question is not answered, Chair. Based on the discussion here whereby the one report says will be percentage of each year, grades of the other year, and the report shows an increase in the budget for incarceration, close on to 3.5 billion there.
Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, thank you very much for the exchange that we have had with the department. For the questions, probing questions posed. And I must also thank the department officials for the information that they have volunteered and shared with the committee members. The question that the honorable member is concerned about seems to me not to be really something we should worry ourselves with. Because it is correct to say the budget in the MTF period is going to be increasing. But the department's plans are projecting a decline in the prison population. But if you look at what is involved in the figures, it's significant. The increase in the budget is really nominal increase that offsets the increase that offsets the inflation. preliminary feedback on the budget. The budget will be going at about 5.6%, if I'm not mistaken. It seems significant. It's not anything to really talk about. But that's one. But secondly, to say that in relation to the projected decline in the prison population, actually, when we had a discussion with the top management here, that is here today, as the minister, we were not sure as to the appropriateness of that kind of optimism. Because, yes, there will be a decline in the prison population like it has happened and it was referred to earlier on. One of the members did make that observation and was saying, why is it that in our profession we are more conservative and not using less in terms of the numbers that we experienced before. The point really is that honorable members, the Department of Correctional Services sits at the tail end of the value chain of the problem we are dealing with. We are price takers. We don't set the price. The price is set upstream there. It depends on how the criminal justice system is performing. And if there is aggression, both from those who are enforcing the laws and make few people to get away with crime, and secondly, that those who are prosecuting put measures in place to be more efficient to make sure that those who are arrested, none of them get away with their, you know, crimes committed. What that means is that the population in our prisons will grow. We can reduce the population of our prison, our prisons, if we make interventions that speaks to dealing differentially with the different categories of the people that we have and using different strategies of dealing with the people who are in prison. But once you have done that, you can only do so much. I'm just saying, I don't think the point about the you know, increase in the budget and the projected decline should be something that we really treat, you know, very seriously in my view. Having said that, Chair, I was going to say that the point raised earlier on by Honorable Member Mstanga, if I'm not mistaken, that time permitting, it is desirable that the workshops be organized of the committee together with the department so that we all familiarize ourselves more adequately with the environment we are expected to take oversight of. It happens as a matter of convention that at the beginning of every term of parliament, workshops are organized with members of parliament so that they're taken through the principal acts and all other legislative instruments that relate to the area of their work. I know that with the National Assembly it is better because members of the committee spend more time in Cape Town here. I'm not sure what the situation with the NDOP, but I would actually say that that comment should not be lost. the department that we are dealing with, we may be of course tempted to bemoan the very caring, you know, challenges that are still very much with us. But I want to make the point that members of this committee, of this select committee, must be aware that the department is only migrating now from a paradigm that
remained in place until very recently after 1994. Unlike other sectors of government where transformation happened from 1994 immediately, the white paper that postulated a new paradigm on how correctional services in South Africa must be approached was only drafted in 2005. So we are only 8 years in effecting a policy perspective with respect to corrections that we all want the South Africans to be happy about. And it is important, therefore, in my view, that in the time we can, arrange for this work of, a presentation on the white paper on correctional services of 2005 to community members would be useful, so that you can see for yourself the many other things or many other areas in which we must still work to bring about the desired, end game as far as corrections in our country is concerned. I thought that makes us quite Chairperson, that yes, there are challenges, but look, there's no reason for me, as far as I'm concerned, to stress about it. It is work in progress.
Just a follow-up. With all due respect to the Deputy Minister, when I initially raised my concerns, I debated the fact that, and I'm a coach of what I said, even with inflation of 5.5%, it will not justify an increase of 2.3 billion after 1% decrease. Honorable Deputy Minister, maybe, I'm not sure which strategy you use this, but 5.5% on the 10 billion will be equivalent of half a billion and not 2.3 billion. The difference between the 2013-2014 incarceration and the 2014-2015 is 2.3 billion. Not just near the 5.5% inflation rate. That's where the concern is very strong. Taking into consideration if, according to what the budget report presents to us today, considers inflation and inflation role, like you said, in near inflation, I would agree at half a billion rand difference, not 2.3 billion rand. And that's why I said, the one report showing a decrease in your outer years, not taking into consideration that you just had a 7% decrease from your 2011-2012 to your 2012-2013. A 7% decrease, you project an outer line year for the midterm review being 1% each, okay, which is under-ambitious and under-achieving, because we want to save more money in the department, especially like I said, incarceration, we are dealing with criminals. And that is more than half what your budget is. So if you apply your mind appropriately to that department, you would have more savings. And already, I'm looking ahead to post a presentation by your department. On one end, you're telling us you're decreasing, and the other end, you're increasing. It doesn't just in business capital.
The 2% increase that the honourable member is referring to, I don't know where he picked it up. Because 2.3 billion. I don't know where he picked that up. Because we are talking here of the medium term expenditure framework that starts in this year. It's 19.7 billion. The budget of the department now is 19.7 billion. It's an increase with 1 billion. I don't know where the 2 point whatever billion. To the outer year of the MTGF period, yes, it is 2 point something billion. To the outer year. That is the year 2016-2017. Not next year. But the point which I still want to make is that the decrease in the 7% decrease in the overcrowding in our places that he is referring to, it is not something that can be sustained.
In 2012, the ministry put together a task team, and a federal task team that whose terms of reference was to investigate all the different types and categories of prisoners that are in correctional facilities. From remand detention inmates, to those who are sentenced, to foreigners, to women, to children, to people with disabilities, all of those, with the view of dealing with all of these categories with the intention of reducing the prison population. That's why you have a remarkable decline of the prison population. But it can only be achieved to a certain extent. It is not something that can be sustained, a 7% decline that can be sustained over a long period of time, because there is only so much space and beds that you can release as a result of dealing with children differently, dealing with the disabled differently, dealing with the, you know, what, women and with babies or children engaged differently. It can only release space that is limited. It doesn't change the point that I was making earlier, which happened. I don't know when the department will, I think, bring back more information around this and just see what they make of the concern that I remember is raising.
So, thank you, Deputy Chair. I think you need to make a submission to the department. We cannot chair a dialogue yet.
Therefore,
Madam Mohab,
Chair, in principle, to make a humble request that this type of interaction is not a matter of direction. Given that it is a political session, we still have an opportunity to engage as and when the budget vote is presented to us. So I would humbly urge that we don't necessarily prolong this engagement. In case there is any issue, we are just concluded by saying that those are all open. So remember, we are part of the unitary process. For as long as we do this matter, us and them, we still face challenges. So I'm just saying, not no chapters, I think this has concluded the presentation, and maybe one should say that when they should start, it should. The good presentation that has been made, well prepared, and well researched, and it was an eye-opener to many of us here. And hence it's important that we should really join them and look at all these things.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you,
Deputy
Minister, and all in the team. I'm saving myself, I didn't ask my question that I'm supposed to ask, because others are covered by my colleagues, and others I'll talk to the department for the content of the corruption that you read from the newspaper, but that they will get it next time. I didn't answer for that. And also I'm not really comfortable about the unnatural death. To me, this unnatural death, because the department report that most unnatural deaths are as a result of suicide. To me, this suicide, I want to ask maybe the department, this suicide is not about this gangsterism. Oh, if it's not gangsterism, there are a lot of gangsterism also in the prison. Is the department have something in place to protect this thing? Well, it's also affecting the world of the citizens. But this thing, I want to tell you, because of I think the honourable members have not said a lot today. We had a lot of meetings. I think it's the third one, this one. They didn't even get the lunch and all. And tomorrow we have a meeting. We are going to have please, I would like to say thank you very much for this first year. Then next meeting, as the Honourable Mukhazi, we come to go and stretch. That's the next meeting, but this suggestion of the Deputy Minister is good. Thank you very much. I think let me ask the officials that there's another problem that we need to finalize, because if it is, do it now. Let's not get a chance. We can release you
give it to me at the end of the day. And one of them was a study. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to the next one.